In Hebrews chapter 1. And by the way, thank you for supporting us from all around the world online. If you haven't, you can always hit that donate button, and those online, those in the house can also see there's lots of ways to support us as we get the gospel out to the nations. Praise God. Thank you for your faithfulness. You know, we're now running TV commercials because of your faithfulness to give, and so thank you for that. And so right now, if you see somebody you don't know, make sure you love on them and greet them and let them know the love of Christ in your heart, okay? We always want to make sure we're a very friendly church. So if there's somebody you don't know, just make sure you say hi and greet them in the love and compassion of Jesus. All right, in Hebrews chapter 1, starting at verse 2 and 3, we're going to talk about the majesty of our God as the Creator. Glory to God. It says, God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. The last days. We're in the last days, and how does He speak? By His Son, whom He has appointed the heir of all things, by whom He made the worlds. Understand, Jesus made the worlds. The Father is called the one that planned it all. He's the Father is the architect of all things, but it is Jesus who made the worlds. Verse 3 says, who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by what? By the word of His power. Who is the word? Well, we know Jesus is the word. So all things are being sustained and upheld by the word of God. Every molecule, everything you see, down to the atomic level, down to the quantum level, everything is being sustained and upheld by the Word of God because it was created by God's Word. Everything we know is being held by His Word when He had by Himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. So there's no mistake, we're talking about Jesus here. Jesus is the one that really is the Creator, and we'll get into more scriptures about this. Hallelujah. So we see, you know, this world is in chaos. This world is fallen all the way back from the Garden of Eden. The world has marred itself through sin, and then came death and destruction, and now we see the pinnacle. We're in the last days, and we're seeing the pinnacle of evil in a dark and a wicked world. But God didn't intend it this way. God created all things good. If you remember back to the book of Genesis, when God created, He said everything was good. So I want to talk about God as our Creator. You know, we in the past several weeks, I've been talking about how we can know God. He wants us to know Him. And one way we can know Him is through creation. You see, God is a personal God. Okay, He is personal with His creation. You are His creation. He had you in mind. You have a place in this world, in this universe. And so there's all kinds of ways, you know, He has made Himself known. To know God is to have eternal life. And we can talk about all the ways, and we have in my past sermons, talked about how God has explained Himself through His Word, that He is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere present at all times. He's omnipotent, meaning He has all power. He's omniscient, meaning He knows everything. There's nothing He does not know. He never learns because He knows all things. And He is immutable, meaning He never, ever changes. He's the same in eternity past, and He will always be the same in eternity future. He never changes. He never diminishes. He's never less. Okay? But then I also talked about His essences. What is God in essence? Well, He is spirit, the Bible teaches us. God is spirit. That means He is not material. You cannot connect with Him and relate with Him through your five senses, through what you see and smell and taste and touch and hear. We don't relate to God through material things because He is spirit. He is also immense. He is greater than His creation. He is greater than this massive universe where you can go a trillion miles or a trillion light years in one direction, and He's there. And a trillion in another, He's there. Up, down, in all directions, He is far greater. He is an immense God. He is the self-existent God. That's part of his essence. He depends on nothing. We depend on him. We are all a creation. Angels, the devil and demons, everything is a creation. But he exists outside of his creation. He needs nothing to exist except himself. He is also perfection. That's one of his essences. He is perfect in all that he is, all his attributes, all his essences. He is the one that is perfect in everything that he is and everything that he does. And he is also eternal. He exists for eternity past and will exist for eternity future. We all have an origin. All the angels had a starting point. So we are his creation. Angels are his creation. This world and all that we see and all that we know are a creation. And through creation, he reflects himself. What is creation but what he had in himself now on the outside where we can experience it and we can be in awe? Have you ever been in awe of the wonders of creation? Of maybe the mountains or he'll paint the sky with colors of orange and purple and the clouds and look at the leaves in the fall and all the animals. He's made so many that are so beautiful. You know, I went to college. I wanted to be a marine biologist because I loved the colors of the fish. I loved the coral reef and the fish. And I was like, man, that is so beautiful. And I'd be in awe of all the coral reef fish. And I wanted to learn all about them. And I did and had a good time learning that. But I was just in awe of God's creation. See, there's something about when, you know, we are mankind. We don't actually create anything. You know, we have artists here. We have people that paint. We got people that we say create music, but they don't actually create music. They're using something that already existed. They're using notes that were already there. They're not creating music. They're making music. And we use paint. We use something to put on the canvas, but paint already existed. So we're making art and so forth. We are God's creation, though. And when he creates something, you know, the artist puts something of themselves into what they make, right? And so when we see creation, even ourselves, we can say this is something that God put in the earth to let us see more of him. It's a reflection of who he is. He created all things just by his own, the power of his sheer will and his word, his spoken word. We know, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we'll read that in 1 John. We'll look at that in just a moment. But I want you to understand that God, through creation, wants you to know him. He is the creator. He is the Lord of all things. And so this world that we see is a reflection of him. And he has done so, let us know that he is the origin of creation. He is also the one that affectionately watches over his creation, and he protects his creation. These are just some of the things that we can look at. But understand, he was the one. No other being in the Bible is associated with the verb create except God. Angels cannot create. Men cannot create. Nothing can create except God. It was his prerogative to say in his own good pleasure, by his plan and his will and purpose, to make everything. And he made everything good. And when he first made it, it was all perfect. But then, of course, it fell. But understand, it was in him. Everything is a reflection of him. Hallelujah. And so he is the origin of all things. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So this is God creating. This is what was in him, and now it's showing up on the outside so that his creation can enjoy it and be in awe of it. Understand, we have the capacity to be in awe of it because we're made in his image. So we are made in such a way that we can enjoy the creation. So he is the creator, and he's making it, but it's for his good pleasure and his will that he's done all these things. And ultimately, it is to bring glory to Jesus Christ. But he is personal. Some people, I think it's in deism, where they believe, well, you know, yeah, God made everything, but he just set everything in motion and then kind of let it go and walked away. He's not actively involved in his creation. But that's not what the Bible teaches. He is personally involved in all of his creation, intimately and deeply, particularly in your life. And that it's evident he sent his son to die to take away your sins. So he is deeply and intimately involved in you. You are his creation. He had a plan for you in this whole big thing that he's doing, an eternal plan. He didn't just make you for nothing, to just sit back and watch. You are to be a part and active in this thing. God has a plan for your life, a ministry, particularly in this time, in this age. We're to be telling people about our God, about the goodness of God and the mercy of God through the cross and what he did on that cross. Amen? That's what we all are supposed to be doing. But understand, he affectionately watches over his creation and what you're going through. He is compassionate towards whatever trials and tribulations you're facing. And he is also the protector. You know, I think about in the Bible, we hear he is called the Lord. Jesus is called the Lord of hosts. That doesn't really compute because it's not a good translation. He is the Lord of armies, angel armies, in other words. He has created this massive group of beings called angels that are armies that protect. Well, what are they protecting? Well, one thing that they're protecting are his people. Millions upon millions of angels, or might be billions out there. We don't know how many there are. But Psalm 91, one of my favorite psalms, it says, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee." Glory to God. That's talking about us. "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he has given his angels charge over thee to keep you in all your ways." Hallelujah. So he cares about the most intimate things that you care about. You know, if he is watching even the sparrows, one of the smallest of birds, and cares about them when they fall, how much more does he care about you, what you're going through, what you're facing? He cares more than you care about you. Hallelujah. He is intimately involved in his creation. It says, this is an interesting one I didn't realize was in the Bible, out of Nehemiah. How many read Nehemiah to learn about God's creation? But it's there. Nehemiah 9:6 says this. Pay attention. It says this: "Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host," that means the armies of heaven, "worship thee." Our God is an amazing God, creating all the heaven of heavens. There's three heavens, and then there's the earth, and then there's so much more as science has been able to look out with telescopes, billions and billions and billions of light years, and what they thought were a whole bunch of stars out there were a bunch of galaxies with billions of stars in the galaxies. And then they can look out farther, and it looks like there's stars out there. Nope, that's just more galaxies with billions of stars in those galaxies. And they just keep looking farther and farther and farther. And this universe is obviously immense, truly immense. And he made all that for a purpose, for his creation, for us to enjoy, and for Christ Jesus, to give glory to Christ Jesus, because Jesus is really the creator. The Father, again, I said, is the architect, and then Jesus is the one that executes the will of his heavenly Father. How did he do that? Well, we know in creation, God said in Genesis 1, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God said, "Let there be firmament," and there was firmament. God just speaks, and God said, "Let there be seed and grass," and so forth, and just speaks. And that's the substance of creation, God speaking, God's word. That is the substance of everything we see and know, is words, the word of God. Hallelujah. Think about that. The substance of creation are the words of God. He just speaks it, and it is so. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Hebrews 11:3. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds were framed by the word of God. So God created the universe out of nothing more substantial than just his will to do it and his spoken word. Creation's origin and continued existence is all based on God's word. Hallelujah. That's what it says in Hebrews that we started to read there. Everything is held in place by just word, the word of our Heavenly Father. And so all of creation points to Jesus Christ because, let's look at John 1:1. You probably know this, but it's just one of those passages in your Bible that should blow your mind no matter how many times you read it. It feels like it's just so infinitely deep. It is so, there's so much here. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me say it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, the same, talking about the Word, was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Now, it's not just Word, but by a personal pronoun, Him. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So notice the Word is called Him. The Word of God is not a book, it's a person. It's Jesus Christ. He was the Creator. God the Father was the architect. Jesus was the Word that created everything we know. It's an amazing thing to think about. And we need to know Him. We need to know Him. We know His Word. He's given us a whole bunch of words so we can know Him better. Praise God for the written Word, the Scriptures, the Bible. But Jesus is the will of God in action. You want to know the Father? Well, look at the Son. You want to know what is the will of the Father? Well, look at the ministry of Jesus Christ. Look at the words of Jesus Christ found in the book. Colossians 1:15, this is an amazing passage. It says, talking about Jesus, He is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn, meaning He is the preeminent one. He is the Lord over all creation. He is the firstborn over every creature or creation is a better translation. He is the first, the Lord, in other words, over all creation. Verse 16 says, for by Him were all things created. By Jesus, they that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. But here it is also, and they were created for Him. This is what delighted the Heavenly Father, was to make all things for His Son. See, God didn't make all these things like as some kind of ego trip. Like He's just doing it for Himself. He made all these things for Him, for Jesus. And when we're in Christ, we get to enjoy them too. Glory to God. And I'm going somewhere with this, so keep following me. So Jesus is the one that created all things. They were made for Him. And I'll go ahead and read verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him, by Christ Jesus, everything consists or exists. All right? So Jesus is the centerpiece of all things. He is the Lord of all creation, right? All right, so all things, all creation was made for the glory of Jesus Christ. So the ultimate outcome of creation is going to be to glorify Jesus Christ. And so through creation, we can also know this is Jesus. Jesus did this. Hallelujah. It says in Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, talking about Jesus Himself. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and praise, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created. See, this thing is not about you. We'll enjoy it. We get some benefits in seeing creation and the beauty of the fish and the skies and all these things. We get to enjoy the benefit of these things, but it's really about Jesus. We sung a song this morning talking about He's the one that goes to war and we get the benefit. It's like we won the war, but we didn't. We did nothing but surrender to Jesus. That's an amazing thing. The same is true with creation. It's really for Him, but we get to enjoy it as an inheritance because we inherit the same inheritance that Jesus inherits. This is all for Him, but it also means it's for you. Glory to God. It's to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now that you're tracking, hopefully you're following me. My final thing I want to talk about is consider this. He did all this. He created all this stuff, all this wonderful universe that we see, the beauty and all these things. But I got some bad news. It has been tainted. It has been marred by sin. And it's all because of Adam and Eve. You know the story of the fall, the original sin in the garden. A snake came along and tempted Adam and Eve, and they fell. And since then, it has continued to fall into further and further chaos and disorder and destruction. And now we see murder and horrible things that people do to one another, to children, and to just slavery and evil that is in our wicked world today just because of sin, because of a choice. And this has corrupted and marred the beauty of creation. God made it all good. He said it is very good when He made it. And what happened? He handed it over to us to maintain, and we messed up. Mankind as a whole, really. It's not just Adam and Eve. We've all sinned, right? It's not just them. We can't point the finger at Adam and say, look what you did. Well, we all did it too, so he'll point the finger back, right? We've all come short of the glory of God. None of us are righteous. No, not one, right? But so we see a fallen world. So what does that mean? Well, that necessitates a new creation has to come. A new creation must be made to rectify the evil and the wickedness of the world. So the plan, as marvelous as this creation is that God promises there's going to be a new one, a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth. So God saw all this at the beginning. God saw that, of course, He made this beautiful creation and that it would fall. It would fall into sin and death. But then God had a plan. And of course, He sent Jesus to die on the cross. And that is going to be a reset where everything is going to be done away with. And I'll show you those scriptures. And everything will be made new. Everything. New heaven, new earth. But it all started with Jesus. He is the preeminent one of a new creation to come. A new creation without sin and without death is on its way. But again, this one has to be done away with. The Bible talks about this world that we see is going to be renovated by fire. At the end of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ is coming fire to renovate this whole world. At the end of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, in other words, in the next 1,000 years, at the end of that thing, when judgment comes, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But before that, the old heavens are going to be rolled up like a scroll and be basically tossed away. See, God had this great plan. And God has infinite resources, infinite power. And so for Him to wipe it off and start all over again is nothing to Him. He didn't lose anything because He's infinite in power. So, His plan is a new creation. And He started with Jesus Christ. And then He started with a new creation. You are the beginning of the new creation. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you are a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So His new creation started with Jesus and then you. And then there's coming a new heaven and a new earth. You are going to populate the new creation. So let me give you some scriptures. This is the grand, what I call the master plan of God. And I want you to see what is coming. I want you to understand what is coming because it helps us to endure what we're going through now, to see what is coming. Jesus endured the cross because he saw the other side of the cross, the great reward, the great benefit. He went through that hardship for a purpose, for a reason. So I want you to see where we're going so you can press through and get through to the other side so that you don't lose hope, so that you don't quit. That's the only way you can be defeated, is to quit, to give up on God. I'll give you some scriptures. Isaiah 65:17, "For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind." God can just clean the slate, start all the way over, new heavens and a new earth, because he's infinite in power. There's nothing that doesn't matter to him. But the next one is going to be eternal. In other words, what we're experiencing now, this life is only a setup. It's staging us for eternity. This is like a stage rehearsal. You know, you go to theater and they'll practice on a rehearsal, but that's not the reality. This life is not the reality. The one to come is the real thing. We are going to enter a new age with a new heavens, a new earth, and you are the new creation that was meant to populate that new place. All the fallen angels and all the demons, none of them will ever be there. All the fallen men, none of them will be there. It'll be without sin, without death, with life eternal, with perfect harmony and union with our God. Revelation 21:1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more seas." Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." How many tears have we cried in this life? "There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Glory to God. "For the former things are passed away," gone forever. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Glory to God. He went through all this trouble just for a dress rehearsal. All this beautiful creation, all this wonderful stuff, this is just a setup. And if this is just a setup, imagine, we can't imagine how much greater it's going to be in the new heaven, the new earth. And he's already started in you. You are the new creation. In your spirit, old things have passed away. Your old man is dead. So he started with you. Glory to God, to populate this new creation that is to come. And it's going to be greater, far greater than what we know today. Far greater. We can't even imagine it. Of course, we know the suffering. We see the death. We feel and experience the pain of now. But there's coming a place where there's no more death, no more pain, no suffering. Right now, we experience through sin a separation from God. But in that which is to come, the new creation, there will be no more separation from God. We see the chaos and disorder in the systems of this world, the Babylonian systems of this world that has fallen. There's coming a perfect city, a new Jerusalem with perfect order, and the government will rest on Jesus' shoulders. Hallelujah. Perfect government. Hallelujah. In this life, we see pain and toil and hardships as just a normal part of our daily life. But God says he's going to wipe away all the tears, every single tear. There will be no more mourning, no more separation because of death, no more sorrow. A new day is coming. And so I tell you this again to encourage you to press through. Whatever you're going through, when you get to that other side, it'll be worth it. You'll forget all this stuff, actually. Glory to God. It'll be so glorious, and it'll be eternal, perfect for eternity. That's what we're heading towards, church. Glory to God. Why don't you stand with me and praise God for a moment? Isn't he worthy? Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. This is all to the glory of Jesus Christ. This is all a setup to give Jesus glory, and thank you for letting us be a part of it. when we surrender our lives to Christ, we are now in Christ and we get to partake of the inheritance of the saints in light. Glory to the holy name of Jesus forever and ever. Thank you for letting us be a part of your eternal plan. Help us, Lord God, to press through, to hold fast in the storms and the trials of life, because there is so much more coming. There's so much more glory that we haven't even begun to see or understand. We cannot even conceive in our minds the things that you have prepared for those of us that love Jesus. He is the centerpiece of all. He is the Lord, the preeminent one of this creation and the one that is to come. A new heavens, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. Forever and ever, we will worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Give God
amen.
Praise. Hallelujah.
Give God praise, church. Give God praise. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just say thank you. Thank you because we are a new creation in you, Father. Thank you because we are now sons, Lord. Thank you because you are now our Father. Father, we just say thank you for the life that we have in you. We say thank you. Thank you, Father, because you could just wipe everything clean and start fresh, but you chose to put us in your plans. So, Father, we say thank you. Amen? Amen. Well, that was a great, great word. So, once again, thank you guys for coming out. Join us for our Sunday service. If you haven't given, as you guys know, there are several ways to give, which should be on the screen. So please feel free to do so at the moment. Also, on September 27th, we are going to have our Christ Unveiled movie night. And we're going to be watching a very, it's a very good movie called Unsung Hero. So if you haven't watched it, don't. Just wait. Be patient. And come out and be blessed. September 27th. It's a Friday at 7 p.m. All right. Well, with that being said, thank you guys for being out here, and you are dismissed.